I want to begin with a hakaras tov for this very special opportunity. What a zechus it is. So first of all, thank you for taking the time of your very busy schedules. I have a lot of fond, extraordinary memories when I got out of the parking garage tonight and walked up Lexington Avenue. So it has been almost 20 years since I spent a considerable amount of time on this campus, because my wife, Nechama, she should live and be well, who encourages me and is enabling me to stay overnight. And so she is taking care of everybody at home. So she was a super senior living in Schottenstein at the time that I was in Reitz, uptown. And so that meant that there were many shuttle rides in the wintertime that brought me down here. And I'm just thinking that as I was walking, if you go south on Lexington, there used to be, after 34th Street, there was a small bodega where they had a few chairs in the back where we used to drink Snapple, and I would apologize for all the stupid things that I had said the previous date, and we could kind of make our way forward. So I have so many memories of being here. And this is a time that in your lives, I'm not sure that I can totally relate to, because even though I was on this campus, I was really an outsider, you could say. But maybe what we're going to talk about tonight can be relevant to you both at your stage of life, where you are now, bichlal, but also during this time, relates to midterms and the stress of managing a dual curriculum. It's the question that sometimes we ask ourselves. We've asked ourselves this question, I would say, many, many times when we were children. But there's still a voice, I think. You'll decide. If you still have a voice that's asking this question. And the question is, are we there yet? Are we there yet? So, just by a show of hands, how many of you have asked this question? Are we there yet? Do you remember asking this question? How many of you have siblings who were in the back seat that you were driving who asked, are we there yet? Right? This is a question. Are we there yet? But I want to ask it together with you tonight on a really deeper, much deeper, real deep level, which is that on some plane for each of us in our own lives, we have been there. We've been there. And when we are in that place there, we know it. We feel it. We've had it. Maybe we were there at Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur once. Maybe we were there when we were standing at the ocean davening Shacharis as the sun came up over the water. Maybe we were there sitting by ourselves reciting Tehillim for someone who we knew who mamish needed a major Yeshua. But in that moment, we were mamish there. But oftentimes, and maybe right now, we're not there. We're not there. We might be struggling with different kinds of issues, whatever those might be. We've been there, but we're not there now. And so that voice is asking, are we there yet? And the answer that we keep telling ourselves is we're not there. There's something nagging. If we're quiet about it, especially when we go through challenging periods, you know, a period when a person finds, you know, they're not inspired, they're not learning, or they hung up the phone, they said the Lashon Hara that they didn't want to say, or they got off the shuttle and they were holding hands with a person that they're not supposed to be holding hands. Whatever that inyan is that a person is struggling with at that point in their life, and they're not there, they feel they're not there, they're asking themselves, so when are we going to get there? Are we there yet? We know. Mi yala bahar Hashem. Who can go up to be there at the top of the mountain with the Ribono Shel Olam? Okay, we did that once. But now, mi yokum b'mkom kodsho. How do we stay there? So that's the question that I want to invite you to think about. Because perhaps, maybe some of you are ola bahar Hashem and Armamish kambim kom kodsho, you stay there. And that is mamash unbelievable. But for most of us, ordinary people, it's a struggle. And so how do we work through those struggles when we're dealing with times when maybe we don't have as much time to learn as we would ordinarily? Maybe we're so stressed out, we're staying up late, we're waking up late, we don't have time for the davening that we want, we can't do the hisbodu, whatever it is, but we're not there. So how do we deal with that issue? So to think about that, I wanted to introduce you to a student and a Rebbe, a teacher. These two men crossed paths in the first half of the 20th century. And they each influenced the entirety of the Torah world. These are two giants of the generation that overlapped. And they overlapped in a way that they hugged each other, literally, spiritually, and educationally, you could say, from a Tochen standpoint. These two men, the student and the teacher, the student was a young European, prodigious Torah personality who arrived in Israel as a young man. His name was Rav Yitzchak Huttner. And he later became the famed Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Chaim Berlin, the author of the Pachad Yitzchak. When he was in his Slabodka environment, he came in contact, his circle overlapped with another circle from a slightly different world. Also from Europe, although from a different place and a slightly different time, was an older Rav, who when in the late 1920s, Rav Huttner is arriving in Israel, is in the sunset of his life, the Kohen HaGadol Me'echov, Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Cook, the chief rabbi of the modern settlement, the first one of the modern settlement of Israel, the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Merkaz HaRav, the revolutionary Torah personality, the giant of Torah in Eretz Yisrael, a recognized Gaon Adir, Gadol Hador. And these two men, they overlapped. Rav Huttner became a student of Rav Kook, and Rav Kook became a teacher of Rav Huttner. Although they differed in certain ways, they overlapped in many ways. And Rav Huttner described how Rav Kook's influence, it permeated his whole Torah outlook, especially as it relates to the spiritual, the Hasidic or Kabbalistic elements of Torah. And they have an idea, which they articulate in different ways, which can relate precisely to this issue, and they can give us potentially, if it resonates, can give us so much chizik. It's a life-changing idea. So Mori Varabi, Rav Herschel Schechter Shalita, he recently gave a talk in Baltimore, Maryland. And I have a lot of family in Baltimore, so one of my brothers-in-law who went to this talk was taking videos on their cell phone of Rav Schechter's Q&A discussion in this venue in Baltimore. And he sent it by WhatsApp. And so Rav Schechter was asked about where a person should daven. How do they choose a shul? So Rav Schechter has angelic kavana during davening. I could tell you when I was in the shir, it was watching Rav Schechter daven mincha every day after shir was totally amazing. And just the fact that someone says actually all the words in the davening is itself amazing. And when Rav Schechter came to Chicago, I was very excited because he came to the Kol once for a weekend. So I knew, I don't want to say the name of the school because maybe someone would say it's Lashon Hara, but there's a particular school that has literally the slowest davening you can imagine. It's mamish long like the gullus, this davening. So I knew I was going to take Rav Schechter to this davening. He was going to be the happiest man. And kachava, he was. We went on Friday morning. He was totally loving it. So when he was asked where you should daven, so his first response, he was talking about the fact that he had just previously been in Boca Raton. He said, well, he was asking the rabbi, where's the slowest davening? Because that's where you're going to have the most kavana. To give people a chance to say, Rav Schechter, he davens with so much kavana that he can't say, even in the Wayu Beis Medrash, where if you've ever been to the uptown davening, you should only do that if you don't have any classes that day. Shacharis, it finishes like in time for mincha, basically. Rav Schechter still doesn't have time to say all the davening because he says kavana is the ikar. So he says only part of the davening, the v'hurachim, whatever. So Rav Schechter said, the best thing to do is go where they have davening with kavana, where you can daven like a mensch, you can have time to think, to be misbodied, to pay attention. So that's the best thing. But let's say all the kavana is going to be the same. So Shechtu said, halacha l'maisa, this is what a person should do, based on what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, based on what it says in the Gemara. If you have two shuls which are equidistant to each other, you should go to the farther shul. That's the din. Halacha l'maisa, if you have two shuls in your neighborhood, you're going to have the same kavan in both places, you'll have the same opportunities to connect to the Bor Yom in both places, you go to the farther place. Did you ever hear such a strange thing? You go to the farther shul, you have what's called schar psios. A psia means a big step. So you get more reward, you take a big step. You ever hear such a thing? Is there schar psios? Are you better off? You're better off. You know what? You should sign up, you should ask, can I be on the 19th floor of Brookdale when the elevator is broken? So that I can walk all the way downstairs to buy, I don't know, Dalad Minim. There's no such thing. No such thing. There's no din that you should actually go to the Seder that's farther away so you can eat matzah. No such din. But there is a din that you get schar psias when the Brookdale elevator is broken to go to shul, to daven. What kind of a din is that? So this din, this question, this issue, is addressed by the Halakha Maharal and is expanded upon by Rav Huttner. Now, in the early 1950s, when Rav Huttner gave this talk, it was written up by one of the Talmidim, and it was later fashioned into a sefer called Pachad Yitzchak in Rosh Hashanah. But the original talk, which is what the section that you have Xeroxed in front of you, this was written down and published before the Pachad Yitzchak, the original 1950s talk that Rav Huttner gave to the students, to the Talmidim. Chazinan, top line. Chazinan is there, we see from this. When it comes to regular mitzvos, that ein hahalicha, second line, begeder, that when it comes to regular mitzvos, the mitzvah is the accomplishment and the path to get there is just a hechsher mitzvah. But when it comes to davening, the davening is mishum dehiluch, third line, bekedei lehiskarev, to walk, to come close to Hashem for davening. Who gufa de'uvda shaliskarvus? That itself is the mitzvah. What is davening? Davening is b'mokom a karbon. The word karbon is to come karov, to come close. Says the Maharal, with Rav Huttner explaining, whenever you stand before the Ribbono Shel Olam, it is an act of coming close. You're trying to get closer and closer to the Borei Olam. It's an inward movement, it's a journey getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Being in shul, being in the experience of davening, being in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's about coming closer. It's about the journey of Hiskarvus. So that means that while when it comes to lighting Shabbos candles, the mitzvah is just lighting the candles. It's not a process. It's not a journey. It's just doing what needs to be done. There is no added benefit of walking further. Of course not. You did the mitzvah, you didn't do the mitzvah. But says Rav Huttner, go but down to the second where the block around the word hiskarvus. Le'inyan halicha, go to the previous line where the second hiskarvus is blocked off. Lamakom shel kirvas elokim. When you walk, when you go to a place of coming close to Hashem, hahalicha ba'atzma, the walking itself, the journeying, the going, havemaisa shel hiskarvas, is an act of coming close to Hashem. So when it comes to davening, walking to shul is the same thing as being in shul because you're coming closer to Hashem. So you actually spend more time moving closer to Hashem. And that's included. V'zeu shechilek ha-maharal, and this is the distinction. Da'olich l'sukkah rechoka, you go to a farther sukkah. Eino mistakar balichasa, you don't gain anything by walking to a farther sukkah. There's no mitzvah to walk to a farther sukkah. Even though, when it comes to a shul, there is. Because in the lush of the maharal, going to a shul is nimshach achar Hashem izbarach. You're being drawn after Hashem. Usually, there's a distinction between the destination, the goal, the telos, and the journey. But when it comes to hiskarvus, davening, the act of coming close to Hashem, the journey is the destination. That's the whole inyan of hiskarvus, coming close. In this light, I can appreciate an absolutely spectacular comment that Rav Kook makes. Rav Kook wrote on all areas of Torah. He wrote on halacha, he wrote responsa, he wrote poems, he wrote songs, he wrote machshava, he taught philosophy, everything. And he also wrote diaries. He wrote journals, which is a big and beautiful avoda. And he left over many kisvei yad, handwritten things that were published by his son, Rav Tzvi Yehuda. So there's a little piece of a ksav yad that appears, this book that you have in front of you, it's quoted from, it's called Bistei Ariya. It's a collection of teachings of Rav Kook. And he writes something amazing that relates to this issue and exactly what we're trying to drive home. Says Rav Kook, this is his personal journal. You're getting into a window into the soul of one of the greatest neshamas of the last 100 years and beyond. Mitochi, from within me, says Rav Kook. Mitoch ma'ayani, from within my wellspring. Hineni tzorech tamid lakachas es otzoros ha'otzoros ha'genuzim. I need to draw my strength from within my treasured place. And now Rav Kook writes, he says, Tamid, all the time, ani kashur ba'oso ha'tzar ha'kadosh. I'm feeling connected to the tzar ha'kadosh, the holy pain. That holy pinch, the feeling of, am I there yet? Am I there yet? Am I there yet? Shol drishas hashlemus el yona. I want to be better. I want to be the best version of myself. I want to be shalem. Am I there yet? But says Rav Kook, v'zu eina mismales. But guess what? It is never filled. That spiritual quench, that spiritual thirst is never quenched. Ve'ina tzrichal ismalos. And it does not mean, it's not intended to be filled. Says Rav Kook, ki zos hi tchunas ha'arigo ha'nitzchis. This is the quality of the eternal longing. Nitzchi means eternal. Ariga is that inner yearning. She yesoda hu hatzimaon eloki. We each have within us that voice that's saying, am I there yet? Because there's an neshama that's calling out, Ribono Shel Olam, I want to be with you. I want to be close. I want to be elevated. I want to be at a high level. Bahar Hashem, I want to be there. Asher kol davar acher ba'olam lo yarva oso. Nothing else that I'm going to do. Not exercise, not sleep, not any other thing is going to quench that spiritual thirst, that voice inside of each of us. We all have it. We might not hear it, says the Holy Pius Setzner, maybe because we're so distracted or we're so busy or we're so afraid or we're so overwhelmed or we have so many layers, but it's in each one of us, says Rav Kook. Ki im ha-mevukash levado. Only the Ribono Shel Olam will make us feel close and quenched. Hatzimaon levado. The tzimaon itself. Sheyachsof tamid yoser v'yoser. We should want to try to get more and more. V'hu ba'atzmo mishafeich l'makor kol ha'oneg. That drive, that voice that's inside of us, that's saying, are we there yet? That we associate with struggle and pain and feeling like we're not good enough. That voice, says Rav Kook, hu ba'atzmo mishafeich l'makor kol ha'oneg. When we realize that voice is the voice of the Ribono Shel Olam within us, that's encouraging us to strive for higher, and that will never be filled in this world, we realize that that voice is itself the goal. That when we hear that voice, instead of feeling bad about ourselves, like, oh, how far do I have to go? We need to realize the going, the listening to the voice, the journey, that's the whole goal of life. The are we there yet voice of the Ribono Shel Olam within us will never be quenched until they call our number and tell us that this journey is over. So it's not a source of frustration, of disappointment. It's actually a source of joy to realize that we're on this journey to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that this itself is the goal. I think it's exactly what Rav Wittner is talking about when it comes to tefillah, that this aspect of Avodas Hashem is what we're actually meant to be doing. We're meant to be feeling, are we there yet? It's like, imagine, give you a mashal, and with this we'll close. You have somebody who loves mountain climbing. They train, they're super excited, they're going to go to one of these Echveisvas, Favorfen and Mekoimus, Mount Kilimanjaro, some place that you have to have all these, you know, the special equipment. I'm not particularly adept athletically, so the thought of this equipment situation itself is giving me like palpitations. But they have all the specialized equipment with the boots and the whole thing, you know what I'm talking about. And the gel, they're eating this gel and the gel packs that keeps you going, you know, the whole thing. So you tell that person, you know what we're going to do with your toiva? I have a great idea. Instead of having you start at the bottom of Mount Kilimanjaro, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make it much better for you. We're going to have a helicopter pick you up with the Sherpa guy and the rest of your chevra. We're going to helicopter you all the way to the top, and you'll just walk the last 10 minutes. So I'm thinking, it's a great Eitzah. It's a great Eitzah. I get helicoptered to the top. I stand on the Mount Kilimanjaro. It's gezint. So how many people who are mountain climbers are interested in a helicopter ride to the top of Mount Kilimanjaro? Anybody? Why not? Why not? Because they want to climb the mountain. Because climbing a mountain is a maisa shel hiskarvus. It's not about being on the top of the mountain. It's not about sitting in the sukkah or lighting the candles or hearing the Megillah. That's true. That's part of it. But part of our avoda is just climbing the mountain. It's the maisa shel hiskarvus. It's the thinking, are we there yet? Are we there yet? But not thinking that out of a place of, man, I must be, rachmana litzlan, not worth much because I'm so not there. But rather realizing, wow, this question of are we there yet? This journey, this struggle, this is gufa the avoda. This is the whole point of it. And if you helicopter to the top, you're missing it out. The goal is dafka to realize that as you go through these periods, you know, when we feel like, are we there yet? You realize the minute you ask, are we there yet? You're in the Maisa Shel Hiskarvus. And that's not a Hechsher mitzvah. That's a Gufa mitzvah. You know, Rabbi Nachman of Breslov is quoted as saying, we say in Kedusha, Ayeh Makom Kavodo. And the word ayeh is very powerful. If you look in the Machzorim at the bottom, there are special tchinas that people say, tfilas. When they get to the word ayeh in Kedusha, on Yom Menorahim, ayeh! Ayeh means, where are you? Are we there yet? Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm trying, I'm lost, I don't know where you are. Ayeh! Says Rabbi Nachman, ayeh! When a Jew asks, ayeh! Ayeh! Mekom kvodo. That's the makom of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the place where you are in the middle of the Maisa Shel Hiskarvus. It's not a reason to be discouraged. It's not a reason to be, you know, sad or depressed. It's a reason to realize that the Ribbono Shel Olam is with us on this journey, and that ariga, that longing, is the voice of the Ribbono Shel Olam within us. And that as we pursue this Maisa Shel Hiskarvus, we are mekayim the avoda that the Ribbono Shel Olam put us for. And so hopefully the Ribbono Shel Olam will be memale mishalas libchem letova. You'll have a lot of bracha in your exams, in all of your studies, in your mahalach hachaim. But we should always remember this teaching of the student and the teacher, of the schar psias of Rav Huttner and the journey, the journal of Rav Kook, that the hiskarvus itself, that's our avodah.